Hey, Glory here with Successful Marketing Group. As you know, I work with local businesses, and right now, I'd love your help in supporting local Twin Cities restaurants. This month, I'd like to spotlight Day by Day Cafe. They've been a St. Paul institution since 1980. My daughter and I have been going there for almost 20 years. They're family-owned and loved for their scratch kitchen breakfast and magical outdoor patio with koi pond. Oh, and their new wood-fired pizzas are a big hit. Go to my Instagram at Successful Biz Owners for more info on them.
Been looking forward to this edition of the Cheryl Reeve Show to talk about the Final Four. And of course, there's so much else we want to get to here. This is the Cheryl Reeve Show at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Wherever you listen to us, like us, rate us. And subscribe. Subscriptions are free. Easiest way to listen. Thanks to our sponsors, Lori Ramsey from Successful Marketing Group, Rudy Luther Toyota, and your local Vibe realtor, Cara Quinn. All right, Cheryl, we haven't had a chance to talk since the Final Four. I thought the women's tournament was fascinating. It was covered better than it has been covered before. We saw great personalities, great coaches. But you're the expert. Tell me what your takeaway from it was.
Well, exactly as you said, I thought it was a great Final Four. You know, being able to have some fans there, you know, there was a pretty good environment, and I thought there was, you know, it's kind of consistent with what's happening in women's basketball. There's great momentum, and I think we saw that, you know, despite being, you know, still not normal in terms of what we knew before. You know, we just continue to succeed, and, you know, ratings were really good for ESPN. I can't tell you how many times in a day that I said I was so happy with what ESPN was doing. Their coverage was fantastic. It wasn't just covering the game itself. We had analysis before, after, recap of the game, you know, what lied ahead. And it was just so encouraging. And I thought it just brings so much to the table when you really treat it so well. And so all of it was just great. And, you know, being able to watch multiple prospects, there were a lot of WNBA players on that floor in the final game, you know, certainly, and obviously, you know, the four remaining teams. So just really, really good. I think it gives us great momentum going into the WNBA draft. There, you know, you had a player that was just a great storyline in Ari McDonald, who, you know, just seemed to be having the time of her career in terms of how she was playing, and what a great story for that team, University of Arizona, led by Adia Barnes, head coach who played for the Minnesota Lynx. So just great momentum around all that. You know, let's see how high of a bounce she got. You know, I believe she solidified herself in the top five. So, yeah, I think that's what people are, you know, there's some storylines people are watching, and you know, draft is on Thursday.
There's a negative, though, Cheryl. I mean, Adia did cuss, and I just don't know if I can handle that.
I tell you, when I saw it live, I got such a kick out of it. I thought nothing of it, because I've been there as well. You know, and it just, the, you know, it was, if you know Adia, she's so authentic, and you know, who cares? I thought it was terrific. But of course, when a woman does something like that, you know, it's frowned upon. I thought it was great. I understood exactly what she was saying. Many of us did understood exactly what the, you know, the gesture and what she was saying meant. So kudos to her. I think she actually, I think there's a lot of players that want to play for Adia Barnes.
Yeah, especially after this run. That was quite a run. And Arizona had been terrible before. I mean, she really elevated that program.
Yeah, I mean, they were good when she played there.
Right.
And then there was a, you know, a bit of a gap. And it happens. I mean, it's yeah, cyclical, as they say. But, yeah, she, a great story. And I hope we're going to have a similar story in Minnesota, you know, about an alum going back to coach their team and, you know, to great success. And hopefully we'll see that next year. We'll see Lindsey Whalen coaching the Gophers and, you know, being in the Final Four next year while it's in Minneapolis. That would be a tremendous, tremendous thing for the area.
Well, you've mentioned that in multiple weeks. It almost sounds like you think that Lindsey's about to turn the corner.
I do think she's about to turn the corner. You know, I think that if you ask Lindsay that, you know, she feels that way. You know, I think some really strong recruiting classes. I think she's learned a lot in her first couple of years. You know, it's, yeah, I mean, absolutely, I feel like that. And I can't wait till we can get, you know, back out there and, you know, see things in person.
Yes, I know. I love being at the barn, especially for her games. I really, and it'd be just so much fun if she, I mean, I do expect her to turn around. I just have no idea what the timing would be. But as you said, she has recruited really well. I would guess that would start paying off. The other coach in the Final Four that I wanted to ask you about, Tara Vandeveer, I mean, 29 years between championships. That, how does that, that's a remarkable thing. Because I don't know. You're the coach. You tell me how that happens.
Well, that was a head scratcher to me, and I've been in the game a long time. And I know when I saw that stat, I thought that can't be, you know, because they're so successful, you know, that we just make the assumption there were a few more championships along the way. But there were certainly Final Fours along the way and Elite Eights, et cetera. But yeah, you know, so it was easy to be happy for Tara. You know, it was such a long wait in between.
And, you know, I think if she wins a few more championships, Charles Barkley might pronounce your name right.
Yeah, that's kind of brutal, huh? You know, it's very, very disrespectful. I wish we could do better. You know, some of the men that are using their voices, I think they need to, you know, they need to bring it a little bit better.
And full disclosure, one of my weaknesses is mispronouncing names, because I usually think phonetically. I worry more as a longtime print person. I think more about spelling than pronunciation.
You just have to write it right.
but we got to get this stuff right. And on that platform, you got to get that right.
That's exactly right. Otherwise, don't do it.
Exactly. So the big question I've seen a lot on social media lately regarding women's basketball is, you have all the, we just watched this great tournament. You see all these great players, and a lot of them are going to be in the draft, and you've got 12 loaded teams already in the league. Does that suggest that you need expansion?
Well, there's no question we need expansion at this point. And I think that will define Kathy's tenure. You know, we've been saying it for a while. You know, maybe 5 years ago, I would have kind of fallen into the category of, you know, you don't want, quote, bad teams. But then I started thinking, why do we do that to women's sports? You know, we say that we have to wait for all 12 teams to be healthy financially, or that all 12 teams have to be good on the court. And that's not the standard for men's sports. And so I think, you know, I've kind of, you know, I think we need to think about it from a business standpoint. The more teams, the better the business will be. So at this point, talent wise, we're just hitting our head. You know, these players are hitting head against the ceiling. You know, it's not their fault. And the game is getting better and better. And as the league is around longer and longer, you know, these, you know, kids are playing at a younger age. They're dreaming about being professional basketball players. So the quality of the game just continues to grow exponentially. So it stands to reason that, you know, we need more teams to make spots for these players.
And every market you move into, and you would be moving into new markets, creates new WNBA fans. I mean, look at the Big Ten. The Big Ten brought in Maryland and Rutgers, not because they needed more teams, not because those teams are necessarily particularly good in the big revenue sports, although, you know, they have their moments in basketball, but they did it just for TV markets.
That's exactly right. And that same thing is true, like you said, just exposure, expanding, you know, the reach. I think we have some places that are interested. And so I think Kathy needs to, and I'm sure that she is, you know, just really spend a lot of time in this area and figure out, you know, at least two cities for us to be able to expand to very, very soon.
So let's get into the draft. We do want to thank our sponsors. You heard about Successful Marketing Group before the show started. We'd also like to thank Rudy Luther Toyota, which is a proud sponsor of the Cheryl Reeve Show.
Ready for a women-forward car dealership? Rudy Luther Toyota empowers their many women on staff in sales, management, and service. Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
Also want to remind you that even if you're not sure that you want to sell yet, we highly recommend Cara Quinn from Vibe Realty, VibeMN.com. She puts out great information, great newsletters. You know, I'm not really the kind of person who sits around reading newsletters, but hers are so attractively presented and they're so relevant to today's market that I do read them. Her latest is Approaching the Current Market Challenges, Where to Start. And here's a big thing too. She also says that even if you're not sure you're ready to list, you want an evaluation of your home, she can help you out. Just reach out. She can help you guide you through the next steps. You can just go online and schedule a consultation. Again, vibemn.com. And the name is Cara Quinn, CaraQuinn, a great local realtor and expert on the market, architecture, and neighborhood. Seems like every week our friend David Barry writes about something relevant to this show. One thing he wrote about today is the fact that volleyball, NCAA women's volleyball, he says it's the fourth highest revenue producer among NCAA sports. That's another place that that we need to see strides. That sport should be better promoted. I mean, that's, you watch the Gophers play, you watch Big Ten, you watch the national tournament. That's a spectacular sport.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm not drilled down into it. I've been been a little bit busy, so I've just been reading more surfacely on it. But you know, I think the gist of it is, I just don't understand what people don't get, right? Women's momentum, the wave, do it right. You're going to be put on blast when you don't. And I think that, you know, what the little bit that I read was, you know, what happened, I guess, was it at their Final Four? Their championship somewhere that they were talking about the coverage and
they weren't
the media
have-
coverage.
They weren't going to have announcers at the early round games. They were just going to kind of just, you know, just supply the feed to their streaming. And, of course, then they got blasted and then they changed their minds. It's just like the weight room at the NCAA women's. You know, it's just this isn't that hard. It's just not that hard.
It's not that hard. Yeah. And that's what, you know, ultimately you're costing yourself more time and money by not doing it right the first time. It's what you're taught as a kid, right? Take your time. Do it right. Be thoughtful, so you don't have to do the work again. So the NCAA is just proving that point that I know that my parents spent a lot of time teaching me.
So we have the draft coming up, and you've nailed the last couple of drafts. You had a big year in free agency. How does that shape your approach to this draft, or do you just draft the best player regardless?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think we certainly feel like. You know, you want to complete the roster in the best way possible. You certainly have preferences in terms of how the draft goes. You always, you're very hopeful. And, I want to be the team. I'm sure all 12 of us will do this post-draft. Anybody that we draft, we will tell you that's who we targeted. And we hope that would be there.
Oh, we noticed. So,
I don't know how you guys do it with a straight face, but. I think that, I think for us, we have, an area, without giving too much away, of preference that I think would be most beneficial to our roster. But I will say this, I feel like we might have a couple of needs. So that's good that you don't feel so pigeonholed. We'll be, at number 9 with 8 teams picking before us. Dallas owns half the picks before us, so we're just going to hang out with Greg Bibb and, try to figure out whatever. We'll take whoever he didn't pick, in Dallas. But, I think, we're excited about it. Our staff is in Minneapolis, preparing for the draft. We'll begin our meetings on Monday, first thing, and in addition to have players in town working out. So a very, very busy time for us. You always want to take care of your current players. So we'll be giving them lots of attention. We've got players that have been in market, have gone through quarantines and are ready to go with what the league will allow us, which is right now just one-on-one skill workouts with one coach. So we'll start to try to get some work in advance of training camp we'll work hard and, we'll see what happens with the draft. And we have just one pick and we'll complete the roster We will have 15 training camp players, so we do have some work to do to round it out to make sure we have positional balance in training camp. We will not be able to have practice players. So, you know, it's going to be challenging for our players physically. We count on that, you know, very, very heavily, as all people know that have followed the Lynx. They've been such a big part of our ability to prepare for games. And so where that's going to be absent again, at least until Olympic break. So we have lots to do, and things are coming at us pretty fast right now.
Having covered so many sports for so many years, I always feel like the draft is just a ridiculously hard thing to get right. Obviously, you've had major successes over the years that built the championship teams. Your last two draft picks won Rookie of the Year. Have you ever taken a player and felt like you made a mistake and learned something from that mistake?
Oh, all the time. I mean, you know, it's well, obviously not the last two, but I think that you have, you know, when you have your second round picks, your third round picks, I don't know if mistake is the right word, but maybe what you thought that player could give you, but then when you're in the trenches, it turns out maybe, because you can't, you know, unlike the NBA, the WNBA, we can't spend a lot of time with the players in mm-hmm. person. We don't get to bring them in. Our interviews are over Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. So it does happen where, you know, people aren't honest with you and forthcoming about the player, and they tell you these things to get them drafted because it's good for their program. So because of that, you absolutely have, you know, situations along the way, and you collect the knowledge and try not to, make the same miscalculation, I guess. I think largely we have felt good about most draft picks, you know, for whatever reason we drafted them. You know, sometimes you say with a draft pick, this isn't about them being, you know, the Rookie of the Year. It's about a very specific need, a personality, being the 10th or 11th player, a skill set that might be a little bit different than the player in front of them. You know, so it's not necessarily about making splashy first teams, all rookie, all that. It's really about, you know, completing your team's dynamics. So sometimes there's success in something, you know, really small that people don't really see. So what we might call a success at times, other people may not. And like I said, sometimes we drafted somebody that we thought would be able to fill a role. We had championship teams, draft picks coming in, sitting behind Lindsey Whalen and Simone Augustus. That wasn't fun for them. And some could handle it, some couldn't. And so, yeah, I mean, I think overall, like you said, it is hard. It's much easier when you're picking one or two, if it's the right draft year. You know, sometimes the draft doesn't present itself in a way that's all that helpful to you. But yeah, I mean, I love the draft. I have, you know, my first day on the job in the WNBA was a 2001 WNBA draft. Talk about learning very, very quickly. We selected Kelly Miller from Minnesota. You know, obviously was a Georgia grad, but we left on the board for the Indiana Fever a player that changed their franchise, Tamika Catchings.
Oh yeah.
And the reason why we did not select Tamika Catchings was because she was injured and wasn't going to be available in her first year. And then, you know, unfortunately, the mandate from the higher ups was that they needed a player right now. And so that you learn from that, how short-sighted that is. Obviously it would have changed the Charlotte Stings franchise. Maybe the franchise would still be there, sort of thing. Day one, you know, there were lessons I love preparing for the draft. I love getting to know these players, just the whole process. So draft day for me, is always a lot of fun. We have just one pick. But I'll be watching intently throughout the draft and trying to learn, as you said.
I went down to Georgia, did a story on Kelly and Coco Miller when they were, you know, standouts at the University of Georgia, and that was a blast. Andy Landers was the coach then. Now he's on the ESPN.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, he had some terrific years down there, and Kelly Miller, I believe, was SEC Player of the Year that year.
That's
obviously because Catchings was hurt.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Kelly Miller and Coco Miller had great careers, and I had a chance to to coach Kelly, but not Coco, who played with the Washington Mystics for a while. So.
Yeah, I believe Rochester kids, right?
They are Rochester kids. That's right.
Yep. So, how have you scouted during a pandemic?
not been my favorite year with regard to that. It's a little more unsettling because I do, you know, the moments that we could be out, you know, the NCAA didn't permit WNBA scouts to start scouting the tournament in San Antonio until the Sweet 16. Side note, the NBA did have NBA scouts at the beginning of their tournament. For some reason, the WNBA scouts, you know, there's just, you know, the request by the WNBA was just one representative from each team. So just 12 teams, and there wasn't space for us, but somehow, you know, the NBA was able to be accommodated, you know, but it's hard. You know, you learn so much in person. You know, we did a lot of video watching. You always do a lot of video watching, but obviously, it went to another level, cause that was your only means for so long. And then when you get to be in person, you just have this feeling of, gosh, it's so important to scout in person. You see so much more. And, you know, so it was hard, and I am glad we have just one pick. I can't imagine having, you know, five of the first 13 as Dallas does in terms of the amount of work that you ordinarily would have had to do. And, you know, you're trying to get it right. You know, that's a team that can only keep three of these prospects. So maybe in this case, you know, you're drafting five and you hope that you get it right, you know, for three of them. You know, I think Greg Bibbs said the more swings, you know, that you get, the more base hits you can produce. So, but it's hard. It was really hard. It was hard for the players. The other thing that's happening, I think I mentioned this, that players had to renounce their remaining eligibility. So we saw that list and it's kind of slowly, there have been some players that have withdrawn from the draft. So these are like first time things in the WNBA. It does happen on the NBA side at times or other pro sports. But we're seeing that. I think players maybe learned, I don't know if it's real information or looking at some of these mock drafts, which is, I would tell the players, do not look at the mock drafts. It does not represent what the franchises think. You know, there's a lot of copycat stuff that goes on in these mock drafts, and, you know, something, you know, somebody says something early on and it catches momentum and they just keep repeating it. And, a lot of times it's not, you know, with real knowledge about how the teams feel. You know, I won't comment on the picks that are slated to go number nine to Minnesota, but I don't know that we've had a draft in the last 5 years that had our pick pegged. But anyway, yeah, I think, you know, the evaluation part has been really hard, and I hope it doesn't lead to, you know, I don't want to say mistakes, but maybe, you know, something that wasn't quite the fit that you hoped, but we'll see. You know, it's, we're still, you know, we're still trying to get through this pandemic, and that was one of the things absolutely has been affected by it.
One more segment here on the Cheryl Reeve Show. We want to thank our producer, Brandon Morton. Also thank our sales executive, Karen Cleary, formerly of the Twins. If you'd like to advertise with this show or the network, you can reach her at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. So I'm at the Masters right now, and this morning, we're talking here on Saturday morning, and this morning, Black Lives Matter is going to protest at a major intersection right by the Masters just to bring awareness to the Georgia voter suppression laws. I will tell you, it's been one cool thing. This is an entree to you talking about whatever you want to talk to about in the world of social justice. I'll just say that it's been really cool. I've spent a lot of time following Cameron Champ this week. He's the only Black player in the field. On Thursday morning, Lee Elder became the first Black man to hit to be part of the ceremonial first tee ceremony, first Black player ever to play in the Masters. And I really admire Cameron Champ, the way he speaks to all this in a very classy way. And man, he's a tremendous young player, and he's in the top 10 right now. It would be, under these circumstances, what's going on in this country the last 5 years, the way Georgia's trying to suppress Black voters, him winning would be fantastic.
It would be rooting like crazy for that. I have not had a lot of time to consume golf and on TV, so I think it's incredible. You know, the it's kind of what, you know, like this aura, this energy that's out there. And so I think that, again, just the wave would absolutely love the statement of that. And I just don't know when people are going to learn. And, you know, I think that, you know, we've talked about the voter suppression, and, you know, there's so many people that you know, you just want them to educate themselves. And I've talked about it with some transgender issues and some of the responses I'm getting on social media. I just want people to educate themselves, including Martina Navratilova. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to, you know, don't, the fear tactics, you know, the false narratives that the GOP legislators continually participate in. You have a mind of your own. Think, you know, like research and you know what, put yourself in someone else's shoes. You know, don't deny that some of these things exist. And, you know, with regard to the voter suppression, you know, I have, you know, friends that live in other countries or been to other countries and spent time, and, you know, I asked them, how do they feel about, you know, Americans? And she said, I'm embarrassed. A lot of times I don't say, you know, I'm from the US. I say I'm from North America. You know, mm-hmm. so, mm-hmm. You know, there's so many people that say that because there's just so many simple things that have been lost on the American culture and how we treat people. It's just embarrassing. And I'm hoping, Jim, that you'll have a chance to really, you know, see that success. So keep bringing those positive vibes, and let's make that happen over there at the Masters.
It'd be great. It'd be fantastic. Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. Good luck in the draft. We'll talk later this week. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. So many shows now across the network. We're going to bring a couple of really interesting names in here in the next few weeks to add to the ranks. We have great people doing great podcasts. Thank you for making it possible. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon and tell you about the draft.